We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, our good buddy. I don't know. Are you in Syracuse? Are you in Washington? I don't know where he is. Of course, Eddie Coleman. Are you in New York? Where are you, Ed?
I'm somewhere in between, Joe. I've been in Florida. I've been in Syracuse, Washington. Yeah, that's I'm all over Washington. Yeah,
you're in D.C. Okay.
What did you have to do in Syracuse? I mean, you're interviewing Mets, which you could do in Florida, which you could do tomorrow.
You really
in
had to
DC.
Go to Syracuse? Did you go?
Well, you know the thing. Yes, I did go. Yeah, I went. Went with the team. And what was interesting is that I thought about leaving. You know, in the morning, on Tuesday morning, but then Jacob gets signed and all hell breaks loose. So, you know, stuck around and
I just want to ask you this because it's Syracuse. Is there like a street named after you on campus there?
Well, actually, part of the trip was to check on the progress of my statue that they're building. But I hate to tell you that they haven't even begun. So they're way behind. They're way behind on the project.
Yeah, you're not there with the Jim Brown statue on campus.
No,
right?
No, apparently not. Yeah, yeah, Floyd Little and Ernie Davis.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah. Yes.
Who is to blame?
Maybe Ronnie Sykes. Maybe I'll be next to Ronnie Sykes.
Sherman
Douglas. There you go.
Two guys who played for the Nets, by the way.
How about Derek Pearl. And another one? Derek Coleman.
Yeah.
Come on.
Three of them. All Nets.
Or Pearl, yeah. Exactly.
Right. Pearl, yeah.
Eddie.
It was actually, you know, it was interesting. The Syracuse part of it was interesting because Syndergaard kind of made amends for.
With the flag,
With the flag. That was pretty funny, actually. The fans got a real kick out of that. As he was, he did a lap around. Somebody asked him to do another lap. He said, "No way, I'm dead." That thing was pretty heavy to carry. But he was out on the Syracuse logo, waving it around in the middle of the field.
Well, he gets it because I even saw him on Twitter. Yeah. He was doing a Q&A the other day with fans, and there was one guy who was upset with him, saying, "Hey, I'm from Syracuse. It feels like you kind of badmouthed our area." And he gave him a thoughtful response and said, "Look, I don't mean any disrespect to you guys. I don't mean any disrespect to the city. It's just the travel and not having a lot of time." And I think he got it. And I think that act of running around with the flag was his way of basically showing the fans, look, it's not about you.
Yeah. No, I mean, the people at the hotel were fine, too. They were joking about it. You know, they said, "We get it. We understand. We know you don't want to come here, you know, at this point, at this time of the year, you know, especially if you've been in Florida and you have a game Thursday." They got it. But, you know, it worked out okay. Worked out fine.
But I could have scheduled a lot better, Ed. I mean, is there a limit? I asked Evan this. He didn't know. I mean, maybe you do. Is there a specific amount of spring training games that you have to play?
No, I don't think so. I don't. I'm not sure about that, honestly, Joe. But I don't think there is. A lot of teams, you know, schedule some place to go before their opener or whatever. Like, I think when we were talking the other day, I mentioned playing Annapolis. You know, going to Navy because they've been trying to play the service academies, and that would make sense. They'd be right there. But you know, part of it too was they this is a new affiliate, you know, from Las Vegas to Syracuse. They want to sell tickets. You know, I think they'll be fine selling tickets because they have Tebow there. He's going to sell a lot of tickets. So I think they'll be just fine. But they wanted to do something. And if they didn't do it now, they probably would have done it sometime during the season. And you know what? The players would probably dislike that even more. So do it now. Get it out of the way. No big deal.
Do you think, and Noah's a part of it, and the fans are a part of it, maybe we are a part of it, but the fans in general are a part of it, do you think pressure played a part to DeGrom getting his extension? Syndergaard even making that comment.
Yep.
Fans reacting not just to wanting DeGrom to get an extension, but all of these other players getting extensions. Do you think that that pressure really contributed to the Mets sealing the deal with Jacob DeGrom?
I think it had some, yeah. No, I do. How much, I don't know. But, I think that the amount of extensions that came down in the last couple of weeks, I think there were probably about 17 thereabouts. I think I lost track, but it was around that number. But I think that obviously played into it. But I always felt it would get done I thought they had to do it. It was something that this team needed to do and had to do with a guy that, you know, is a focal point on this team. He's one of the leaders in this team. You know, he gets A-plus in just about every category, you know, as far as being good guy and good pitcher and et cetera. So, you know, you had to do it. I think the pressure was there more so than anything. The only thing that bothered me is that it took as long as it did. They could have done it, I think, a little bit sooner. Could have tried to do it a little bit sooner than back it up against opening day. But the important thing is they got it done. And, did that have some, did it hold some weight, all the pressure of everybody else signing and all that? Yeah, it probably did. But I thought it was something that they would get done, and they finally did get done.
All right, now who's playing first base tomorrow?
I think it's Alonso, but I thought you saw the opening day lineup in Sarasota.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You did say right. That, right.
That's what I thought. I don't know that, but, you know, it's Scherzer. You have two righties, then a lefty, and you've got, you know, Alonso and Smith. So I think it's going to be Alonso in games 1 and 3 and Smith in 2, but I don't know that. Mickey's been very coy about holding back his lineup, but if I had to guess now, I would say Nimmo, Alonso, Cano, Conforto, then Ramos, McNeil, Rosario, Lagares. That would be my opening lineup. Right. I don't know what his is.
Let's figure out this roster. We've got the 5 starting pitchers we know, and so far, knock on wood, they've all come through spring training healthy, which is nice. DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, Mats, and Vargas.
Yep.
I figure then a 7-man bullpen. We know Edwin Diaz.
Yep.
We know J-Riz Familia. We know Seth Lugo. We know Robert Gazelman. Are the 3 guys to clear out, or the remainder of the bullpen, Justin Wilson because he has a guaranteed contract, Kyle Doughty because he's a Rule 5 guy, and Luis Avalon because he's actually pretty good? Are those the final 3 guys in this bullpen?
No, 2 of the 3 you've got. It's going to be Wilson because he signed.
Right.
He was all. They have a core 5. Luis Avalon will be there as well,
so
another lefty.
So Doughty's out?
Doughty was claimed by the Rangers. Yeah.
Oh, when was that? When did I miss that? Yeah. Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Okay.
That was yesterday. I believe yesterday. Tim Peterson is going to be the 7th guy in the bullpen.
Okay. Right.
And that's going to be a flex position. You'll probably see other guys that you've seen before. You know, you probably would have seen Drew Smith, but he's at Tommy John, so he's not going to be there. But it was odd the way the Mets handled that, honestly. They pitched Doughty the other day in Orlando when we were up there, and he pitched 4 innings and actually pitched very well. And I thought, well, you know, that's a pretty good indication that, you know, maybe they're going to keep the Rule 5 guy. And,
right.
But they changed their mind, or didn't, you know, he didn't have a great spring. He was hit pretty hard early, but he came on late. They liked Peterson a lot. I like Peterson too. To me, he doesn't have great stuff, but he goes right after you. He goes right after hitters. I like that. And that's what they need, and they need somebody who can do a couple of innings too, and he can do that. So he's going to start there anyway. So he'll be the 7th guy.
Well, and Eddie Coleman is in D.C., of course, with the Mets. All right, so Todd Frazier, how far away is he, Eddie?
I would say more hour. I don't know.
He's ahead of Lowry, right? He's before.
He is, yeah. Yeah, he's at. Lowry was hitting off a tee in Syracuse yesterday. You know, I'm not expecting to see him before mid-April. We'll see where that goes. I would say Frazier was within 10 days. That would be my guess at this point.
Right, right, right.
I think he's further along. They'll have some decisions to make, obviously, when Frazier and Lowry are ready to come aboard. But it looks like they'll have a while for Lowry. And for now, you know, McNeil will play third base. And with Frazier, I don't know. We'll see what happens. And that, I guess, presents a problem too, because, you know, if Frazier's ready to go and he's put on the roster, and say Alonso / Smith are playing well over at first, then Frazier's going to play third. And then what happens when Lowry comes back? But that'll all be figured out over time.
So right now, Luis Guillerme makes the team as basically the jack of all trades,
yes,
but more importantly, the backup shortstop.
Mm.
Only guy who can play shortstop on this team after Rosario.
Rosario's had a great spring too. He looks great. A lot of guys look great, really, at the bat right now. But Guillerme, he earned it. That's another. You know, I'll give this to Brody. He said at the beginning of spring training that, you know, he was going to take the best 25 north, and
looks like he is.
At your, And they signed Echevarria, and everybody thought at the time that here's, you know, veteran guy, good glove, he'll be your backup shortstop. But you know what? He only played well, and he hit. He can hit. He just didn't last year. I don't know what happened. He just – and I think also he got a little heavy, too, during the season. I think probably did not take the best care of himself as when he was up. I think he learned a lesson, and maybe he took that lesson to heart this spring because he played very well. And he can play a little bit. So he's going to be the guy right now, and hopefully it works for him.
The Dom Smith, Pete Alonso thing right now, to me, is not going to be sustainable long-term, assuming they get healthy. You mentioned it. Jed Lowry, Todd Frazier potentially coming back. Unless Dom Smith does play the outfield. If he plays the outfield, I can see how it could work long-term. Are they going to mix him in at all at left field?
They say they will. I'm hesitant with that. I think Dom's a first baseman. I don't think he's an outfielder. I know he can play out there, and you can put him out there. I'm not real comfortable watching him out there. So, would I be in favor of it? No, but it's not my team. So, I don't know.
No, but the problem is, I agree with you, Eddie, especially because he's so much better defensively than Alonso. Two guys on your roster in a league that doesn't have a DH who are exclusively first basemen, that's just tough to do.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I guess the problem they'll have, Ev, is that, if they both play well and they both hit, then you've got to figure it out. My guess would be, if from what I saw of Alonso this spring, if he continues that, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. He's going to be here. I mean, the kid is, he's a player. So if that's the case, then Dom is going to be the guy that, regardless of what happens, will go down. And they'll have him. At AAA, but they can always call him up and they can have him on the bench. If maybe he can mix in a little outfield. He didn't play a lot. He took some fly balls out there during the spring. Would you send him down and have him play some outfield there? I guess you could do that. They also have a lot of outfielders, veteran outfielders down at AAA too. And Blanco, Gregor Blanco, Rajah Davis, a bunch of guys down there. So how that all sorts out, I'm not sure.
All right, so the backup catcher right now is Nito. Is that right? Is he backing up?
I believe so. Yeah. Okay. Did you see they signed Rene Rivera? Though?
I did see that. Yes. But Rene's Nito's with the team fold. Now. Nito's with the team in Washington.
Yes, he is with the team in Washington. They don't have to have the roster until tomorrow. And I forget the exact hour, but they're probably going to hold it till then too. Like I said, Mickey's been pretty coy about who's starting, who's doing this, and who's on the roster.
So they've decided to keep Devin Mesoraco basically in purgatory. That's their decision with him. That they said,
that's a weird. I don't quite understand that, honestly. He's a pretty good soldier, and I don't really get what they're doing there. I would think you'd just release the guy if that's the situation that he's in and what they want to do, and then let him try to latch on with somebody else. Like I said, I think the other day, nobody. The other 29 teams, didn't put in a claim for him. So, there's not a lot of interest. But injuries have a way of happening, and he's a good backup catcher, I think.
So the only thing I could think of is that Brody tried to sign him as a client. Mesoraco turned him down to go to a different agency. And this is Brody's way of saying, payback's a bitch.
I don't know. It could be as simple as, Rivera's been in spring training. I don't know what kind of shape he's in or where he's at right now. So, when he gets totally healthy, you could see him come up, and then you let Mesoraco go, have Nito go down. I don't know. We'll find out.
Would you rather have Devin Mesoraco on this major league roster as a backup and just have Thomas Nito in the minor leagues? Wouldn't you rather have that?
Yeah, I probably would.
So what am I missing? So why not just do that?
I guess you're missing Travis d'Arnaud because we're missing him right now.
Yeah, but isn't he going to start on the disabled list? Isn't that how he started?
Yeah.
No, it's an IL now.
I got you.
Speaking of politically correct.
Yeah, there's no DL anymore.
Well, there is for me for a year. One year
that's
I'm calling
the politically
it
the correct new word now.
I don't know why that's unpolitically correct.
Because I think they probably looked at people that are actually disabled.
And said that's offensive.
I guess.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what the genesis of the change was, but
I don't remember hearing an outcry.
What are they calling that? The injured list?
Injured list. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The IL.
The IL.
I always thought the IL was the International League, but that's I'm old. So,
wait, so yeah. Is Darnold going on the list?
You are one of the few older than me, Ed, by the way.
But both of you seem so young. Like, you and Eddie are, like, you feel so much younger than, let's say, Minko and even Dove, even if numbers tell you differently.
Yeah. Well, Eddie, I'll say this, and I think I'm in his category. I think Eddie is cool. You're cool, Eddie. Like, you're a cool upper 60-year-old guy. Right.
Yeah,
that's how I consider me. Like, I would consider myself cool.
I know
plenty of 60-year-olds that aren't so cool.
Yeah, I would too. Well,
I won't mention any names. Okay.
I'll say that we try to get it. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
So you're a cool senior citizen.
Right. I'm a cool 65-year-old. Just like you're a cool whatever, you know, 66-year-old. Yeah. We'll say. Yeah.
I'm going to make a compromise. I'm not going to call it the injured list. I'm not going to call it the disabled list. I'm going to call it the list, all right?
So is
Darnold starting on the list?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
I think so, yeah. I think
so where is he, in Florida? Is Darnold still down, like, extended spring training? Is that what they're doing with him?
Yes, I think he'll be in extended spring. I'm not exactly sure where he is. I think that's where he is, yes, I believe. But the last time I saw him was in St. Lucie, so I'm assuming he's there. I haven't seen him here, so I'm assuming that he's going to be in extended spring and still working, yes.
Yeah. Mm.
I think he needs it. I think he needs some more at-bats. He didn't get all that many down there, and I think he still has some work to do on throwing and that. So see how it comes along.
Mm. He wasn't a good thrower before
the
injury.
Exactly. Precisely. We'll see if it improves.
Let's hope he doesn't get hurt in extended spring training, because who would be surprised if that happened, right?
That's very true, too. But, I think – and I can't blame the Mets for looking at it this way. I think when healthy, you can probably – you know, if Travis Darnold went out and played if he played Wilson Ramos's load, 120 games, would he hit 20 home runs? He probably would. So I think the Mets look at that and say, okay, you know, can you give up on a guy like that? Probably not. So they're not.
Mm.
Can't say I blame them.
What's the weather like for tomorrow there? Is it decent?
It is supposed to be 62. How about that?
Oh, that's good. That's real good.
That's great. I don't know cloud, sun, and I don't
know
if there's
threats of rain.
It's not raining.
The bottom line, no rain, 62.
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah, no rain and 62. That's a good number.
I
remember when I was 62. That's a good number.
And the extended for opening day at Citi looks pretty good, too. I know it's a week out, so you never know.
It does.
But it's got next week looking like it's going to be in the low 60s for Citi Field.
Good.
60 degrees
like
opening
that.
Day.
Yeah. And
wow. Yeah, we're all the way into April next week. So.
I know. All the way.
Thank God. Oh, by the way, all right. So Saturday, Noah's pitching Saturday, and then Wheeler on Sunday. Is that how it plays out in Washington?
That is correct. They're just going to play it out as it is.
And that means the home opener is Syndergaard. That's what it means.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, you're in a dome. I don't know what happens in Washington weather-wise, but you're in a dome. You're in a dome for
Miami.
The three games of
Miami.
Miami.
So Miami.
Those will definitely be played. And, what happens in Washington, hopefully there's no rainouts. And
it's Syndergaard, yep.
Would you go, I asked John Heyman this, and Evan, I'm going to throw this at you. Would you go under 63 with the Marlins?
Oof, under 63 with the Marlins.
It's a low number.
Oh, yeah. Oh, keep them under 100 losses. No, I would not. Would I go under? Yes, would I go under? Yes.
So you think they will lose over 100 games pretty much?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Thank you, Eddie.
All right. We got it.
All right, guys. Enjoy.
Opening day tomorrow. It's opening day eve.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.